Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go. My next guest just returned from a trip to the Bahamas, on which his team won a perfect 4-0 in exhibitions. His Tigers in the top 10 of the CBS Sports Top 25 and 1 preseason college basketball rankings, largely because of a freshman class that ranks number one nationally. I am, of course, talking about Memphis head coach Penny Hardaway. He's nice enough to join me now. Penny, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Everything's good. I appreciate you being here. I won't keep you too long, but I wanted to start with on a topic of local recruiting, because I know you can't talk specifics, but ESPN updated its class of 2021 rankings today, and there are five Memphis high school players in the top 55. That's more top 55 high school players than the entire state of California, than the entire state of New York. How big of an advantage is that when you've got that kind of talent right here within, you know, a 10-minute drive of your campus?
Well, it's a huge advantage for us. You know, Memphis basketball has been, you know, really good for a really long time, and getting that list of 2021 does not surprise me, because it's a basketball town. But it gives us an advantage because we're here around the kids on a daily basis. They can see what's going on with us. They can feel the energy from our fans on a daily basis, and how the city is Tiger crazy. So that definitely gives us a small advantage.
Talking to Penny Hardaway here. He's on Twitter at @IAmOneCent. So you went to the Bahamas, like I said, 4-0. As you look back at it, after watching your guys play a total of 160 minutes of basketball, what is the thing you saw that encouraged you most?
The thing that I saw that encouraged me most was that we were together. The chemistry was there. The guys were really rooting for one another and really trying to play unselfishly. And they really tried to do everything that we asked them to do. There was no negative feedback. There was no negative energy. It was really a great trip overall for us as far as the team, for sure.
You obviously started Damian Bob, Boogie Ellis, and Lester Quinones all four games, which allowed you to start each game with two point guards on the floor, two great shooters on the floor. There are obviously a lot of advantages that come with that. What is it you like most about that three-guard lineup?
Well, it's what you just said. It's athleticism, it's shooting, it's toughness, it's defense, it's all the above in one, in that three-guard set right there. They can do a lot. Those three guards can do a lot together, for sure.
Obviously, Damian was the least heralded prospect in your top-ranked recruiting class, but also seems to be the player, or one of the players, that everybody on the staff seems to love. When did you realize you had somebody who was, for whatever reason, severely underrated, it appears, by the recruiting analyst?
Well, I mean, the first time I saw him play, I saw how tough he was. I saw how unselfish he was. I saw how his will to win was as large as anybody's on the floor. Huge heart. Takes a challenge. I knew then that he was the type of kid that we needed on our team. Need leaders like that. He's a born leader as well. So I knew then. And then coming into this year, I knew he would be second to none, because he's long, he's rangy, he's a ball hawk. He's tough. I mean, and he had a huge chip on his shoulders because of that reason.
Talking to Penny Hardaway.
Not being mentioned with everyone else.
Right. I'm talking to Penny Hardaway, head coach at Memphis. He's on Twitter, @IAmOneCent. So based on my research, only two coaches in the history of college basketball, Steve Fisher at Michigan and John Calipari at Kentucky, have ever consistently started five freshmen. Do you think you're going to become third?
Like I said before, and I'm not taking this out of context or even trying to, you know, start anything with my sophomores or anybody else on the team, it could very well happen. The freshmen are competing as hard as anybody. We don't know right now, but it could possibly be an all-freshman starting lineup at the beginning of the season, and just as well as it could be a mix. So we just don't know yet.
If you were to start, because what people don't remember about the Fab Five is they didn't actually start the Fab Five until February of that season. The only team ever to start five freshmen in the season opener was the 2017-18 Kentucky team. So you would, if you went that way on opening night, you would be only the second team ever at the high major level to start five freshmen in the first game. I thought it was interesting. A few weeks ago, before you went to the Bahamas, you said you watched film of Texas Tech and Virginia and some other schools to see if you could pick up anything they do on the defensive end of the court that might help you with your team. Did you find anything? What, if anything, did you learn from watching that film?
Well, it's the way that they load up. Obviously, they keep their man in front of them. But if anybody makes any kind of mistake or any hiccup with their man beating them, the rest of the team is in position, weak side, strong side, understanding what they're going to do, just the physicality of how they play, how they touch you on every cut, how they take charges every play that they're not, that they're supposed to. They don't miss an opportunity to take a charge. They box you out every single time. They're trying to hit you every single time. So the physicality of the game goes to another level with those teams, and that's what I learned about those teams.
Will you implement some of that to what you do this season?
We've implemented a lot of that already in our freshmen and in our team. These are guys that have never played this level or this magnitude of defense of what we're asking them to play, and then also to be physical on top of it is something that they've never had to do. So we've given them a cushion on the learning curve, but we're still pushing for a culture of toughness, being relentless, not giving up anything easy, trying to take on the personality of our city. Everybody knows the best teams that have ever been with the Grizzlies has been the grit and grind, the guys that just won't give up anything easy and never quit, never give in. So that's what we want on our level as well.
Talking to Penny Hardaway, head coach at University of Memphis, less than 3 months now from opening his second season as the Tigers head coach. When you enroll the number one recruiting class in the country, especially so early in your career, it sends a message that you're going to be a real threat on the recruiting trail, probably for a while. Some have even called you the best recruiter in college basketball right now. Why do you think you're good at it? What has made you so effective so quickly, even against the Blue Bloods?
Well, first of all, having a great staff. And then we went to, you know, my whole philosophy when I first came on is I hired NBA guys because I knew the top guys and the top kids, they ultimately want to go to the NBA. So when you give them that platform and they know that we've been there on the highest level, everybody knows Mike's career, my career, and even Sam when he played. And then now with Cody, with the NBA connections, these kids really want to go to the next level and they want to be taught how to get there. So our spiel and our speech to them, of talking to them over and over again is, you know, we can get you to where you want to go. You ultimately want to be in the NBA, and who can teach you better than us? And that's just basically what it is. And then the facilities, and then the fans when they come on their visits. I mean, everything in one just kind of, you know, allowed these kids to understand that this was the place to be.
There are a lot of different approaches to recruiting. I've heard some coaches talk about they go in there and they'll identify somebody and they'll say, hey, listen, you're going to be our starting point guard from day one, or you're going to be a starter, we promise. And then there are other coaches who promise nothing but an opportunity to compete for whatever role you desire. How do you handle that when you go in talking to these elite-level guys? Do you, you know, I don't want to say make promises, but say, hey, you're going to be this from day one, or we're going to give you an opportunity to be this, and if you take it, that'll be awesome.
Well, obviously, you never say never in any situation, but I haven't had to do that yet, and I don't really think I will bend when it comes to that, because if you're that good, then you're going to solidify yourself anyway. That's how I feel. We don't go in saying we're going to promise you anything. We want you to come in to our culture and take on the culture of I got to go in and work and grind for every single thing that I get. That way, it won't be any excuses or, you know, if you promise somebody something and then they come in and then they're being outplayed by another kid, it's going to really screw your team. You know, it doesn't fare well. I want to keep the mentality of everything has to be earned, not given.
I'm wrapping up here with Penny Hardaway, head coach of the University of Memphis. Last thing before I let you go, one of the big storylines about the Bahamas was James Wiseman did not play. I think we all understand, mostly for precautionary reasons, but how is he now? Is he back in the gym doing whatever it is he needs to be doing?
Yeah, James was actually doing that before he went to the Bahamas, and he's been doing it since he's gotten back, for sure. It was just precautionary reasons. We didn't know that he wasn't going to play when he got over there, but it was just a decision by the doctors that to shut him down, and we weren't going to argue that because we don't want James in August. You know, we want him when the season starts all the way through. So we weren't really worried about that. I also looked at that as giving my team an opportunity without Precious and James to just the other guys to kind of showcase and show what they really have. That's what we went over there for. You know, even though the competition wasn't as great as we wanted it, because we didn't really know who we were going to play. We had one really good game. It still was on a daily basis, us playing against ourselves and seeing where we're going as far as what we've already put in for the last 3.5 months.
That is Penny Hardaway, head coach at University of Memphis, now less than 3 months from starting his second season with a team that is probably going to be ranked in the preseason top 10. He's on Twitter, at IAM1Cent. Penny, I know how busy you are today. I appreciate you carving out a few minutes, and I'll see you real soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Gary. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll see you. Penny Hardaway, head coach, University of Memphis. Interesting on the approach to recruiting, because I was having a conversation with a member of a staff, probably one of the 5 best recruiting staffs in the country, and they were frustrated, this guy was, because he felt like they had decided from the top up at their school, we're not promising anybody anything in terms of, if you come here, you'll be our starting point guard. If you come here, you're going to be our leading shot getter. They just don't do it that way. And they've been effective not doing it that way. Mm-hmm. But they felt like they had lost at least a player because another high-level program was going in and saying, we will build around you. You will be the guy from the jump. You will get all these shots that this player got last season. And sort of, it was a, not a debate, but like just a conversation. What is the proper approach? Like, what is more effective? Do you tell people what they want to hear? Because everybody wants to hear, like, you're going to be the man from the start. Do you tell them that? Even if it's maybe not true, because that's what they want to hear. And because if you're not telling them that, somebody else is.
Sure.
Or do you just be upfront and say, all we're offering you is an opportunity? You might be our starting point guard from day one. If you ask me, the way I envision our team breaking down, you should be our starting point guard from day one. But promise you that's going to be that way? I can't do that. You know, what is the better way to do it? And again, I could tell you, probably the 2 most successful recruiting staffs in the country over the past decade, and you don't have to be a recruiting analyst to know what they are, it's Duke and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They, I'm told at least, take 2 different approaches to that. One does it one way, one does it the other way. And so I was interested, like, what does Penny do? Because there's sort of been this conversation, perhaps it's only happening on radio, but still a conversation about, you know, did Boogie Ellis come here thinking he's going to be the starting point guard? Did somebody tell him he's going to be the starting point guard? And now Damian Ball might actually be the starting point guard with Boogie playing beside him. And if that's the case, is that a problem? And so I wanted to ask Penny about that just in general. And he said, we don't promise anybody anything. And I think his rationale is the most sensible one. If you promise somebody something, unless you're willing to just go back on your word, which happens all the time in college athletics, by the way, but unless you're willing to go back on your word, then that means you're tied to that. No matter what happens in the preseason, no matter what happens in the season. And if suddenly you are starting somebody who doesn't deserve to be starting, it can cause real problems. Because the guys who know better than anybody else who ought to be playing and who shouldn't be playing, who should be starting and who shouldn't be starting, it's the guys in the locker room. It's the guys on the team. Mm-hmm. They see who's in practice every day. They see who gets who every day. And so if you have promised somebody a certain role or a certain number of shots or any of those things, and it becomes apparent in practices they don't deserve those things, but you're still giving it to them anyway, it can cause a real, real issue in your locker room. Because it means somebody who should be playing isn't, and it means the other guys think that they're on the court more often than they should be with somebody who is an inferior player to another dude. And so I think that is the answer to the question. Should you promise people stuff in the recruiting phase? Like, maybe if you want to, just because you'd say what you need to say, but you better be willing to go back on it if you have to. Or the other side of it is just don't promise anything at all. Because if you ever create a situation as a coach where players feel like they're not getting what they deserve, and more to the point, when the team feels like somebody's not getting what he deserves, I guess it's possible inferior players on every team think they deserve more than they're getting, even if they don't. But when the other guys in the locker room are like, this guy should be playing more, this guy should be starting, but he's not because the coaching staff promised this guy he would, mm-hmm. that can become a real issue. And it was interesting to hear Penny identify that as a reason you just don't promise anybody anything when you're still trying to secure a commitment from him. Big thanks to University of Memphis, to Bennett for setting that up. Penny Hardaway here on 92.9 FM ESPN.